Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
John chapter 2, verse 12. John chapter 2, verse 12. This is a bit random. This is after the miracle of Jesus turning the water to wine. And we've done a series on this before. But this is kind of how it ends. Verse 12, it says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. I just love this because Jesus didn't seem to ever run, but he didn't ever seem to stay anywhere many days. We see Jesus walking. Now, if I was a part of the first miracle of Jesus that brought glory, manifested his glory, it says the disciples believed at this point during this miracle, I would want to hang out for a while and sort of talk with Jesus and how somehow I pulled the ultimate lottery ticket, thousands of years of messianic prophecy. Somehow this Messiah shows up in my generation, in my village, and in my life, and chooses 12 people, one being me. I mean, I would want to hang out and wrap my mind around that, and not Jesus, though. He wants to move on. I want to talk about the move of God. I want to talk about what is a move of God. I believe we all are praying for a move of God. We want God to move in our lives. Amen. Five of us. Amen. That's good. Listen, this is okay. I got my work. I might need an hour. No, come on. We all a move of God in our lives this Thanksgiving. Come on. We want Weird Uncle Al. Amen, to be impacted by the grace of Jesus. And we want this city to be impacted. We believe in it. We believe in revival. We believe in regional transformation. That's a big word. We believe in this. What does this look like? I want to discuss the idea of. I don't know what I'm about to say. I got five things that are vying for the mouth right here. I have many thoughts trying to work themselves out. Wanting and believing, and I'll just say it like this. There is an overemphasis, I think. I could be wrong. I think there's an overemphasis on the voice of God. Hearing from God. Trying to hear. I'll say it like this. I think the problem isn't the problem. We think it's a talk problem. And I want to make a case for it being a walk problem. Let's go to the book of Jonah. That took a lot of effort to say something really simple. And just pray for me. Pray for me. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea. This is Jonah. He's left, and he is going the opposite way of the word of God to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down in the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. I think it is good to rest. Amen. Amen. It's good to take a vacation. There's times where your axe is dull and you need to sharpen it. Not, you can't chop wood with a dull axe, okay? Trust me, I'm like a logger. So you need to sharpen the axe, okay? Don't let this baby face fool you, all right? I've chopped a lot of wood. And what am I talking about? Sharpen the axe. I'm all for it. But we get, I think, into a mode of, I need to rest. I need to go to the beach again. I need to go to Hawaii. I need to go to Cancun. I need to binge watch. I need Stranger Things 3 to come out quick. I need more. And there's a constant, if you find yourself this morning, this might not be everybody, but if you are constantly craving sleep, vacation, it might be more of an escape. It might be more of a hiding. It might be more of a pulling back. A nap might not be what you need. We might need to encounter the Word of God and the purposes of God this morning afresh. And the cool thing is, it doesn't take anything but some faith, which all you need is a mustard seed. So that can happen this morning. So that's good news. It's not a 20-year program. It literally can be a moment. All right, one more thought here. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I believe that God is speaking. I believe that God is a talker. Okay? Now, you don't need to picture your wife or picture someone who talks a lot. He talks your ear off. I'm not talking about it. But God is a talker. God is a talker. Why do we act like God doesn't talk? I think we have this propensity to sort of, God, where are you? God, you're not speaking to me. Lord, I need to hear your voice. And all of that is good, but I think it almost sends a message to the world and to people that these people don't ever seem to know where God is. These people seem to be just as lost as I am, because in many ways we are constantly trying to figure out God and hear his voice and figure out what he's saying to us. And we're always seeking the voice of God as if he's not speaking. So it challenged me to look at this and go, do we have a voice of God issue? Because honestly, I was going to prepare a series about hearing the voice of God. This is a true story. This is the God's honest truth. I'm going to make a series. I'm like, we need to hear the voice. Because it's the number one thing that I hear, maybe top three, hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. And then God brings me to Jonah, and I really feel impressed upon God that before we talk about the talk, we got to talk about the walk, because the walk gives context to the talk. So we're talking about, I believe, the essence of Christianity, which is we are following after Christ. But do we want more talk and more information so it doesn't take as much faith? Because when we talk about walk, we're talking about a walk of faith, and we don't know if we like the walk of faith. So I need a little more talk. I need a little more information before I take this walk. Okay. Here we go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise and go. Arise and go. God speaks in sound bites, not full revelations. He speaks to you like a trailer, not the full movie. You're just probably never going to get the full movie. And if you're waiting around for the full movie, you will take your last breath and go. We want the full picture, but God speaks and go. Build. Preach, love, forgive. And I think we spiritualize our unbelief of, I don't know. I need some more information. Go serving kids. Not feeling it. God's like, you don't have to feel it. I'm going to fast a snack. I'm going to fast. Then our fasting of a snack turns into 5 years. And then we come to church and we come up and get prayer. I just need someone to pray for me. Why? I just need to hear the voice of God. I'm in a wilderness. The old wilderness. Ah, the good old wilderness. What is the wilderness? Is it literally the voice of God going silent in our life? Or is it us taking a massive detour and according to our own walk and not necessarily what God has preordained or spoken over our lives? Arise and go. Snippet, soundbite, little piece. We want the full puzzle. Little piece. Hey, cast your net on the other side. Why, God? I want to understand why I got to do all that work. It's going to be cast your net.
No, I need the full picture. Well, you're going to miss out on the blessing of God because there is no amount of information and word that will eliminate the need for faith. But we don't want to walk in faith. Serve them. No. Love them. No. Preach. No. Invite them. No. We don't do that because we go to Activate Church. We go, you know, I'm going to stay and pray about this. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm just going to seek him and I will find him when I seek him. The problem is, are we praying for something that has already happened? I just need the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. I just need, you know, I just. You know what you need is faith, and you have it, and it's time to walk. It's time to walk. It's time to move. It's time to move. So that's the move of God. I think that's my whole sermon. So, yeah. Worship team? All right, fine. Well, just a couple more thoughts. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. He's not going to tell you the message until you start preaching, but we want to stay and pray and get the message so it will preach. He's saying, I want you to walk in preaching, and I will start to give you a message that you not have ever even heard before when you step out in faith and begin to preach and forgive and love. Then I will begin to talk because the walk will give context to the talk, and you're waiting for more talk that will justify and eliminate the walk, but nothing can eliminate the walk of faith. So begin to walk and we'll begin to talk further. Walk and talk. All right. Walk and talk. Move of God. Let's just one more verse. That Matthew verse. Let's grab Matthew. Matthew 11. Man, Trey is on it. We can see Trey some love right now this morning. Thank you. Awesome. So good. Ben, love you guys. So good. My niece is here this morning. Esther, come on. I mean, it's just really, we love her. Come on. She's 16 years old, right? 16. I know. She's the age of our union, our marriage. All right, Matthew chapter 11. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully staying put. And violent people are attacking, and no, forcefully advancing. As much as you don't want to move this morning, the U-Haul of the Holy Spirit is coming to pick up your stuff. As comfortable as you might be, as in awe of the miracles of the past might be, he's doing a new thing. He's moving. He's advancing. And if you want a move of God, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's time to move because the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Forcefully advancing. Woo! It's good. All right. It's a move of God. Let's talk about this. It's a move of God. It's a move of God. Lord, we thank you this morning, God, that we could come together and gather, Lord, in church and just worship and praise, Lord, and lift up your name and just being here together, representing the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you that this will go on forever. That the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the bride of Christ will continue, Lord, into eternity. God, we thank you that not only do we get to enjoy life and eat hamburgers and buy clothes and cut our hair and go to work and do life, that ultimately all of that, God, will pass away and we get to ultimately live for something beyond ourselves, bigger than ourselves, and we get to be a part of something eternally significant. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. It's a gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yeah, we're 16 years old, our marriage, and I got a little worked up during that prayer. Okay. Heart rate's back down. I'm just going to say another point without preaching here this morning. That's why it's praise. You don't wait till you feel praise. You praise. You just praise. Presence. Praise. Preach. Move. 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 Okay. Anyways. So, 16 years. So we were not married. We met in Tonga, missions trip. and you do not fall in love on a missions trip. Amen? If you're single, don't. If we go to Mexico next year, I should say when we go to Mexico. Not if. Amen. When we go to Mexico, don't fall in love. Because what happens is a small group of people you get around start looking really good after a couple of days. Okay? And so all of a sudden, girls you didn't notice, you're like, whoo! Lord? Lord? No. No. So there's just a rule. So when I met Carrie on a missions trip to Tonga, I just rebuked Satan in Jesus' name. But man, I've never seen anyone so beautiful. And so I you know, took me a year and a half. I prayed. I sought God. I don't fall in love. Amen. I step into love by the word of the Lord because I'm a man of God. And I was praying about Carrie. I did a 40-day fast, and not just for Carrie, but for revival. But when you do a 40-day fast, I mean, you just put everything under there, right? All the squirrels and just world peace, because you're doing a 40-day fast. I mean, you just, everything, just pop it in there. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, she did something that didn't help. She had this long, beautiful hair, and then she cut it like a little pixie. And so I thought she was a boy. I saw her at this conference. I'm like, Carrie? No, you're her brother, right? You're Tom. Like, who are you? And so it took some faith, and I could, oh, it's you. It's you. But it just took me a while, and I'm kind of praying and, you know, trying to figure this whole thing out. And as a youth pastor, single youth pastor, I didn't want, like, a ton of ex-girlfriends in the youth group. That just doesn't look right. You know what I mean? Like, how you doing, Teresa? Hey, sorry about Tanya. Sorry, my bad. Anyways, you do what? You got to be careful. You got to be careful. And so her parents moved down to Portland, and so they invited some of the team from Tonga over, and I felt impressed by God to show up. And I kid you not, I don't know how to explain this, except her sister opened the door. Carrie walks around the hallway, and God speaks to me, but I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like, oh. That was it. I don't know how else. It wasn't like a tunnel of light. But it was. It wasn't a voice. It was literally, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, aha. And I saw that she was probably my wife, or at least I had, it was a go-ahead, or it was something I was looking for from God. And God, I felt, spoke to me. But I've never experienced anything like that before. I have always sought the voice of God. I always want to hear from God. I have wrestled with God, speak to me, even about this church. This did not get birthed in a, Isaac, I want you to plant a church. Ah, yes, Lord. It was this little seed that has been growing for the last 15 years. It was a continual revelation of direction and inspiration that slowly, I realized that God will give me a taste like spying out the land for a future season and a now season. I remember having a burden for the third world and frontier missions and people groups that never heard the gospel. And yet in that season, literally in like Papua New Guinea, I start to get a passion for the American church. And not back then, I didn't know what it was, but God was speaking to me. But I don't know if I would have ever said it was the voice of God. I remember one time trying to figure out what nation I was going to go to during this one year, and I was praying about different countries, and literally the flag of Japan, poof, just, I don't know what it is about Japan. Man, God needs to move in Japan. But this flag of Japan, bam, hits my screen, hits my mind, and that I knew was God. But God has spoken to me different times in different ways, and it's almost like you just never know, because what I was looking for was the audible voice or something in my mind or a thought or something. But God leads in a certain way where it always seems to take faith to be able to hear him. And whenever I would say, God, I need to hear you. I can't hear you. Where are you? I'm realizing it's less about the talk and it's more about the walk and my faith starting to wander from the original word or something that he has already given to me or already spoken to me. So I honestly believe that we have less of a voice of God talk issue and more of a not keeping up with Jesus and where he's going and where he's walking and where he's speaking, because I believe that God is loud. I believe God, I saw Steve up there. Steve's working at my house last night, helping me put some countertops in. He's a man of God. And we're standing there at the sunset, literally not holding hands, but standing next to each other. And we're just standing there going, wow, isn't evolution amazing? I'm kidding. We're just standing there going, wow, isn't God amazing? And I've never heard God so loud amongst sunsets and trees and waterfalls and creation crying out. But my roadmap here tells me whenever you get lost, it's not just the voice of God that you're having trouble with. It's because you're walking out of faith and out of my word, and my map will bring you back. And my word says that creation cries out. When you can't find them, creation cries out. Seriously, let the rocks give you faith. It's like, what? No, I need God to speak to me. I need God to speak to me. And we find ourselves in a place where we're blaming the voice of God, and yet God is so loud and God is so preeminent. It says in Colossians 1:17, woo, so good, that he is before all things. He is before. Why do we act like we are before? God, I got a vision for a church. Speak to me. Which building? Which people? God, I got a passion to do this, and I got a passion to do that. We got to start understanding that he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so even though you discover something, even if you are a PhD that understands protons and neutrons and tons, what keeps those together is the presence of the living God. And my Bible starts out with, in the beginning, God. I love that. I love that. Because whenever I get lost, whenever I'm like, God, where are you? In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, Isaac. In the beginning, before my marriage, before this church, before mission trips, before my salvation, before any prayer, before any fasting, before any breakthrough anointing, before a prophetic word, was God. In the beginning, God. He is before all things. He's before. He's before. So he's before my questions. He's before what I'm trying to figure out. He is before. He is before. He is before. I love this picture because Adam and Eve are in this predicament where they're trying to figure out. Could you imagine only having one thing to worry about? Like one thing. I mean, I feel like I have a million things to worry about financially and prayer and church and holiness and everything. I mean, they had one thing. One tree. Sorry, Lord. Something unbiblical in my sermon. I'm sorry. One tree. One tree. I mean, one thing. I can't imagine being Adam and Eve. I think I could have done it. I think I could do what Adam did not do. I feel like I could trust God amidst the darkness. Remember, God didn't give an explanation for why they were not supposed to eat of the one tree, except it was a demonstration of faith with one thing, and they couldn't have faith for one thing based on the word of God. I'm calling you not to eat of this tree. You can eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree, and they couldn't do it because they believed, according to the lie of the enemy, that God was robbing them of something, keeping them for something. And so they needed to figure it out and go, well, we need to try this. And literally, they took a bite and experienced the fall of man because of unbelief. One thing. One thing. It's that simple. It's literally that simple. When things get unclear, you got to understand that God is a God of clarity. It is us who takes one thing and makes it like a big deal. Can you imagine Adam and Eve's dramatic conversation? Well, we don't even know anymore. This one tree that our Father God doesn't want. You know, and can you imagine Adam? He's like the first dude on the planet, and he's naked, and there's no problem with it. And he's naming animals. And then he sees this woman get like out of his rib. And I mean, what? Can you imagine the faith that he has in God? But he can't believe that a good God, a creator God, is good enough to not trust over one tree. But you know what? We do the same thing. God, where are you? Right here. God, I can't hear you. I'm speaking. I even gave you my word. I even gave you my roadmap. I even shed my blood. The Holy Spirit has come. Why do we act like we are living 8,000 years before the cross, praying for something that has already happened? Lord, we just want you to move. I have. Lord, we just need salvation. It's yours. I just need the Holy Ghost. You have a double dose. Just take it. Just take it. What? God. Ah! Forsaken me. One tree. I love it because it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what we're after. We're after the why. We're after you didn't explain it. You're after you didn't give me the full picture. I don't understand it. And God says, there are some things that will take faith because I am God and you are not. And you're walking according to faith. But sometimes when we need a talk, it's because we don't want to walk the walk of faith and trust in saying, God, you are God. And I will follow. I will follow. I will follow. And what happens? I love this. I love this. They hide. That's what we're doing. We're not, we spiritualize it. Again, we're staying and praying. Just seeking the Lord. Just seeking Jesus. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sis? I'm just seeking the Lord. Just a wilderness. Just a wilderness. How can you be living in a wilderness when the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the church and the fulfillment of prophecy and the bride of Christ and some of the greatest expressions of Jesus are happening on planet Earth right now through men and women of God, known and unknown, surrounded by just literally demonstrations of grace. I know you might not have had a father or a spiritual father, but you are surrounded by men of God in this room that are willing and ready to help you, but yet we stand here and go, I don't know, and pray for something that has already happened. God has moved towards you. Just want a move of God. He has moved towards you. I just want a move of God. He has moved. He moved heaven and earth to come die for you on the cross. Honestly, I've been to Jerusalem. The Jewish people, our heritage, are literally some of the most smartest, brightest, most beautiful people, and yet they are waiting for something that has already happened. It's amazing. It's trippy because I'm such a Jesus person. And so you go, they're like, yeah, we're just waiting for the Messiah. You're like, well, what? Like, everything I'm about, Jesus, 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 praise the name of Jesus. Walk in the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I have access to the Father in the name, in the name, in the name. Demons tremble in the name of Jesus. Like, everything that I'm about, they're waiting for. Just waiting for the Messiah. Okay. Okie dokie. Shalom. It's difficult. It's the same thing in New Testament Christianity. Just waiting for God to move. He has. Just waiting for God to speak. He has. Isn't it amazing how much seeking that we do, how much speaking he does? He's speaking. We're seeking. What's the problem? What's the problem? We're always seeking. He's always speaking. The problem might be we want more knowledge of good and evil. It just takes too much trust.
Adam and Eve couldn't trust over one tree. And so God speaks something to you. He's spoken something to you. And we go, kids church? I'm not feeling that, Lord. I need to pray about that. And God's like, no, you don't. You don't need to pray about that. It's right here. What? Yeah, remember how clear and how loud Jesus is? Jesus said, if you ever get confused, like ever, and you're like, I need to seek the Lord. Like, where are you? Forsaken wilderness. Just understand that I knelt and I washed the disciples' feet. And Peter's like, no, don't. Lord, no, don't, you can't, no. Maybe it wasn't just because he felt awkward. Maybe it was because of the ingrown toenail. It's like, no, Lord, stop it. And so Jesus is saying, if you ever get lost, if your walk ever wanders, I'm going to make it crystal clear for you. Find the biggest, nastiest toe in the church and wash it. You don't need 50 prophecies. If you get them, fine. But just so you know, find the biggest Jerusalem toe jam in your marriage and start to scrub. Find the ingrown toenail in the city, at work, in your church, in your family. Get on your knees and begin to wash, because that is the walk of Jesus. And this roadmap will bring you back anytime you get confused. God, where are you? I don't know. I need some confirmation on that. I hear that all the time. I need some confirmation on forgiveness. No, you don't. I need some confirmation on preaching the gospel. I don't know if it's in my gift mix. No, you don't. I'm praying about where to serve at church. I'm praying about what to do at work. I'm praying about, and really what we're saying is, we have said no to the roadmap and the walk of our Savior, Jesus, and we want to do our own thing, and we want God to bless us in pride, in selfishness, in arrogance, in unforgiveness, in holding on to offense, in stinginess, and we want God to come and speak to us amidst our walking away from His Word. And so we blame the talk. Well, I just need you to talk to me, God. And God's like, I'm talking, but it's not a talk problem. It's a walk problem. I'm moving. Jonah, it's time to preach, and I'm going to give you the message on the way. It's time to preach, and I'm going to give you the message on the way. We're going to walk and talk. That's why it's called a walkie-talkie and not a talkie-walkie. I felt like I needed to say that, because you're just never going to forget. God does not want a talkie-walkie. He wants to walkie-talkie. We're going to walk and we're going to talk. Son, it's time to walkie and talkie. Let's go. God, where are you? I'm right here. We're going to walk and talk. You thought I stopped speaking. I am reiterating the same thing that I've spoken, because my word does not return void. So come back and walk with me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. How? Why? When? What? Why? No, when the word of God comes to you, it says that Peter, and they dropped the nets immediately. That's the power of the word of God. When we don't resist and we just receive and say, God, here I am. Forgive. Love. Praise. Worship. Serve. Preach. Love, give, take that person out to lunch. We've been resisting the same words for years. God, where are you? Where are you? I love it. After sin, it says that Adam heard the voice of God walking. This is tremendous.
If you read your Bible, it is not the sound of God walking. It was the voice of God. It was the Word walking. I love this picture because the Word walks. The Word walks. The Word is in motion. We are the ones that don't feel comfortable, so we protect and we get comfortable. No. We figure something out and we make a camp. Remember Israel in the wilderness? Okay, let's go. Manna for the day. Keep a bunch of manna, it spoils. Teaching us to be dependent upon God, which we don't want to be. We want to figure things out. We want the knowledge of good and evil over faith. Even for one instant, Adam and Eve couldn't do it. Giving us the picture, though, of what we can do through Christ and the gift that he gives. Receiving and having faith to say, okay, God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. It's a move of God. 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 There we go. It's a move of God. We're moving. We're moving. How uncomfortable do you feel right now?
Pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, if Asher would have stayed over here, resisted, because it's uncomfortable walking around in front of everybody. So he's there, and God's moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. It's not over, baby. We're moving. We're moving. Oh, snap. I'm not called to this. I'm not called to this. I'm not called to this. I don't have a prophecy about this. I don't. God, where are you going? Where are you going? We're walking. We're walking. And we're talking. I'm going to bless this person. I got doing something over here. Let's speak to this person. All right, join the chain. Join the chain. Let's walk. Let's walk. God never stops moving. He's moving. Oh, I've never been over here, God. Exactly. Exactly. We've never been over here. I don't feel comfortable, God. This isn't my gift. This isn't who I am. This isn't my family. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. You don't know where God's moving. He just says, follow me. Follow me. And what happens when we think something's wrong, we stop. God's still moving. God's still forgiving. He's still healing. He's still operating. But we don't understand it, so we stay and pray. God, I need your voice. I need more understanding. I need more knowledge. And God is saying, actually, you don't, because you're trusting in the one who understands it all, has preordained, is before everything. All I need you to do is walk with me. And your walk is going to bring context to the talk. The walk is going to empower the talk. The walk is going to bring understanding and clarity to the talk. But what we want is, no, we want to talk more. I want to talk more. God's like, oh, we're going to talk. We're going to talk. But let's walk while we're doing it. Let's walk while we're doing it. Give these guys some love. Thank you so much. Walking. We're walking. The disciples, they get to the tomb. They get to the tomb. Peter and John are running to the tomb. They get to the tomb, and he's not there. Jesus is not in the tomb, but that's where they last saw him. That's how we seek God, where we last saw him. Some of us are literally trying to reproduce a move of God that's 10, 20, 30 years old, because that's the last place we saw him. And Jesus is saying, I've moved. I'm not in the grave. It's not Friday, it's Sunday. And we're like, but Jesus, we just saw your body ripped to pieces on the cross. You were there. You were in the tomb. And Jesus is saying, I know that you're trying to understand the crucifixion. You're trying to wrap your mind around the crucifixion. Could you imagine these guys? Yes, Lord, we just started to believe in you. We just started to believe. We just started to really get a hold of what happened. We really started to see the miracles. Even the wind and the waves obeyed you. You raised Lazarus from the dead. We really started to believe. There began a movement. We thought Jerusalem and Zion was on the up and up. And then you went and died on the cross. And now we're confused. And Jesus is saying, there's more to say about the crucifixion. But just because you can't understand the crucifixion, it doesn't keep me from the resurrection. It's not Friday anymore. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. I'm moving. I moved. I moved. I moved. And guess what? I'll continue to talk with you about the crucifixion. Actually, even the angels, it's a mystery. The crucifixion will be explained throughout eternity, but I'm moving. I can't wait for you just to understand the crucifixion before I bring the resurrection, because it's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move. And the disciples are trying to understand, saying, God, but we look for you where you used to be. And some of us are looking for God in a song 20 years ago or a church movement 20 years ago. And he's saying, I'm doing a new thing. It's time to move on. It's time to give some faith. It's time to not be tied to that old way of thinking. You know what? I have a feeling I will not like my kids' worship. I have a feeling 30 years from now, I'll be sitting in some Activate Church building going, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I'm sure there's some events and some outreaches and some small groups that I'm going to be like, I don't know about this. And God is saying, Isaac, you're looking for me in the tomb. It's not Friday anymore. It's Sunday. I've moved on. I'm doing a new thing. I'm making all things new. And to find me, you can't use your sight or your knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You need the word. You need the roadmap. Jesus, where are you? I'm in communion. That's why it's my body. I'm in communion. Eat the flesh, drink the blood. What is that? That's grace. Constant reminder that everything I am was given to me. Where are you, Lord? I'm in church. It's my body. You're my hands. You're my feet. Where are you, Lord? I'm in forgiveness. I'm in mercy. I'm in grace. I'm in love. I'm in joy. I'm in peace. I inhabit the praises of my people. It's not the talk. It's the walk. Walk according to my word, and it will clarify the talk. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move. Is anybody ready to move? I mean, it's time to move. This is your week that literally fear, insecurity, complaining, blaming because the turkey's not right, and Aunt Jemima, whatever, and Uncle, and Grandma, but we never do this anymore. We don't do that anymore. It's time to move on from the past and move forward because the kingdom of God is advancing. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move from fear to faith today. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's saying it's time. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to stop waiting for that new mattress. Some of you are saying, you know what? I'm going to really begin to pray and believe God for restful night's sleep and no insecurity and no anxiety at night. How many of you get anxiety in the evening? Thank you. How many of you get anxiety in the morning? That's me. Okay. Some of us are waiting for a new mattress, a new house, a new car, a new job. God says, I already gave you my word, and it is a walk of faith. It is time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move from anxiety to praise and thanksgiving and declaring the word of the Lord. I will sleep. I will rest. I will have dreams. I will wake up energized and strengthened in the word of the Lord. It's time to move. We'll have a Thanksgiving full of worship and good attitudes and when I get a new house, when I get a new job, when I lose weight, when, and God says the when has already happened. The blood has already been shed. I'm moving in your family more than you could imagine. I am moving in your life more than you could imagine. I am moving, and if you ever lose track of where to walk, come back to the roadmap and begin to move towards grace, begin to move towards mercy, begin to move towards forgiveness, begin to move towards praise, begin to move towards worship, begin to move towards the church, begin to move towards small groups, begin to move towards the word, begin to move towards generosity, begin to move towards giving, begin to move towards joy and peace. It's time to move. I know you're wrestling with the crucifixion. God says, I know. Come on. It's Sunday. God, but I need more word. I need. And Jesus said, the moment that you look to me for what you need is when everything will change. Because man will not get glory for what God does in your life. Even if it's one of my messages or it's a conference you go to or whatever it might be. But let the seed of faith come to you this morning and say, Jesus, I believe. I am not going to let the enemy or my mama or some teacher ever diverge me from my walk again. I'm walking with you. Let's stand.